I didn't know this was in Psalm 100 until I went to studying it this week. Let me see if I can't quote it. I might need some help. Let's see. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Come before, let's see, no, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. I just want to stop and say, bless his name. I'm glad I can say, bless his name. He took all my sin away, Brother Ralph. You're singing about, bless his name. Then the last verse there, let's see. Start me on it, Brother Steve. Let's start with. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know what that means? That means if Jesus don't come, and Sawyer gets to be my age, Brother Wayne, the truth will still be here for him. Pray with me this morning. Let's see what we can get out of this first verse. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our church. Lord, I appreciate so very much each one, Lord, that comes, each one that prays for us, each one, Lord, that loves the same Savior that we love, the same book that we love, the same songs that we love. And Lord, I appreciate the Holy Spirit. God, I pray you'd make it easy for us to preach today. Lord, we need your help. Lord, I praise you today for our people. Lord, I think about our folks that are getting ready to have surgery. Brother Allen, God bless him this week, Lord. Brother Allen Kidd, Lord, as he goes over to the VA for surgery. Lord, thank you for touching my brother-in-law and helping him. And pray, Lord, he'll get out of the hospital soon. And Brother Mike Moody, God, that he'll get out soon. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble here together today. It's a beautiful November day. Might be the day, our Lord, that we've been waiting for. The day when our Lord would step out on a cloud and we'd hear him say, come up hither. And Lord, we'd check out this old world. I pray, Lord, you'd draw real near to Brother Mitchell today. God, I pray you'd just bless that man of God. Lord, I pray you'd just pour your spirit out on him today. God, may there be such a spirit of grace, our Lord. God, you don't give us what we need before we need it. You give us what we need when we need it. God, I pray you'd bless that man of God. Bless Brother Larry today. Lord, I know he'd love to be here. I pray, God, you'd touch him. Now touch us, our Father, and give us strength, Lord, that we might stand for just a few moments. Bless Brother Don, Lord. I know he's preaching out somewhere this morning. Said he might be here tonight. I pray, God, you'd bless Brother Don, Miss Linda. I pray, Lord, you'd bless our sweet people now. God, those that are here today that don't know you, may this be the day they come to know Jesus, to whom to know is life eternal, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I appreciate you being here this morning. I picked up on something as I studied this week, and I want to share it with you this morning, the Lord being my helper. The Bible said here in verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And I want to give you something this morning that I didn't realize that it was here, really. But this word noise here in the Word of God, let me give you the Hebrew word and the definition. It's a word that means to split the ears with sound. In other words, when he says make a joyful noise, he's not talking about mumbling. He's talking about, beloved, listen, lifting up your voice. And I remember one time I was preaching on the radio, and somebody at work asked me, said, why do you preach the way you do? And I said, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know. But I went back and got on my knees, and I said, God, why do I preach the way I do? I said, Lord, why do I lift up my voice when some don't lift up their voice? And the Lord showed me over in the book of Jeremiah where he said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. I'm looking today at a thought. Listen to what this word now. This word comes from the word, it's spelled R-U-W-A. And you might say that ru-wah, but it's actually pronounced ru-ah. Ru-ah, like R-O-O-A-H. That's how you would say the word. Now listen, it means to make a loud noise or that would split the ears, a shout. It means to blow an alarm. It means to cry aloud. It means to make a joyful noise. It means to shout. It means to sound an alarm or to triumph. Now, I never got that out of Psalm 100 before. But I'm going to tell you something we're missing in our day. We're missing this joyful noise. I said we're missing this joyful noise. I'm telling you, Brother Rose, I can remember my grandmother shouting. Bobby, I was thinking this morning, I don't know if you can remember it or not either, honey. I was a little older than you, just a little. But anyway, I can remember my grandmother shouting when I didn't know Jesus. And I knew my grandmother had something I didn't have. I knew my grandmother had a hold of something that was not in of this world, but it was of another world. Amen. I'm telling you, how many knows what I'm talking about? You know what I'm getting tired of? I'm getting tired of hearing about the old-time way and the old-time meetings. And I'm wanting us to get back, beloved. Listen, get our shout back. I'm going to tell you something. When people come through the doors, they ought to know that this crowd loves God. And this crowd loves this book. And this crowd loves to hear about the blood. And this crowd loves to hear about the cross. And this crowd loves one another. And this crowd loves sinners. Amen. And this crowd wants to help people along the way. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, that's the church of the living God that I'm talking about. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Now, there's always a first mention of something in the Bible that's important. And the first time I found this word, ruah, in the Word of God was in Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 7. The Bible said, but when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. That's that word, ruah. And if you go to war in verse number 9 in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, how many knows this morning we've got an enemy that's oppressing us? I'm going to tell you something this morning, beloved. There's a lot of people will never get their shout back because they'll never get rid of their pride. They're too worried about what somebody else is going to say, what somebody else is going to think. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved, this morning the enemy is out there. And the enemy, if we're not careful, will come in here. And the enemy will oppress, amen, the people of God. And cause them, beloved, listen, to be downtrodden and to be depressed. When we ought to be looking up and shouting the praises of our blessed Lord. He's coming. He's coming. We ought to be sounding the alarm. He's coming. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. Ready or not, here he comes. You know, the other day, my little granddaughter Olivia said, "Papa, would you play hide and seek with us?" Well, I didn't feel like it. When you're 58 years old, you rarely feel like playing hide and seek with anybody. But let me ask you something. How many knows what I did? That's exactly right. I said, "Okay, y'all hide, and I'm going to count to 10. 1, 2, 9, 10, here I come." Amen. I walked through. They went back towards our bedroom, Brother Houston. I walked through the door, and I said, "You know what, Missy?" I said, "I bet you I can find them just by listening for them to giggle." And they went to giggling. They was behind the curtain, and I found them. You say, "Preacher, where are you going?" "I'm going somewhere." And then Olivia, after a while, she said, "Now, Papa, you hide." And so I went back on the other end of the house, and it was dark back in there. And I got behind the door, and I could see the shadow from the dining room being cast on Olivia. She came slipping through there looking for me. She got around behind that door. About the time she went to look behind that door, I said, "Here I am," like that. It scared her so bad, she went to crying, and I felt like I was about that tall. I'm saying, "Preacher, you say, what are you trying? Why did you tell that story?" It ought to scare you to think, beloved, that before we meet tonight, Jesus could come. I'm telling you, beloved, we're trying our best to sound an alarm that you've got to be washed in the blood. You've got to be born again. You've got to get ready if you're going to get on this train that's leaving out for glory. You've got to be saved by the grace of God. Sound the alarm. That's the first mention of the word ruah. Beloved, listen, 2 Chronicles 13 and verse number 12. "Behold, God himself is with us for our captain. his priests sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O Israel, O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Those that fight against this alarm, those that fight against the shout that Jesus is coming, are not going to prosper. It's those, beloved, that says, hey, I want to get ready for his coming. I want to be found in him. I want my life to be hid with Christ in God when he comes. That's the only ones that's going to prosper when he comes. Oh, beloved friend, I never got so much out of one little word in all my life. I ain't done yet. Just getting started. Think about this, Ruah, this shout, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. It goes back to, I heard a man say one time, he said, listen, even if you don't know God, you ought to tithe. I never had heard anything like that before. I said, man, where's that coming from? He said, you breathe God's air, you drink God's water, you live on God's earth. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, it's in him you live and move and have your. That's true, whether you're saved or not. Beloved, listen, you couldn't even walk without him. You couldn't even get a breath without him. But oh, happy day, Brother Brian, when we come along and realize it's that goodness that leads us to repentance, amen, and to a place where we trust him to be our Lord and our Savior. Ruah, the idea of sounding an alarm. The second place I want to look at in the Word of God, and there's all kinds of places. I think, Brother Brian, one time I showed you this Bible program. I really didn't realize this. But now I not only have the ability, Brother Steve, to search words, but see, the word's not always the same in the English language. In the King James Bible. So now, Brother John, I can click on that Hebrew word, and it tells me every time that Hebrew word is used in the Word of God. This word, ruah, make a joyful noise, a shout. And beloved, I begin to look at these and glory, glory, glory. It just kept getting better and better, gooder and gooder, tweeter and tweeter. I'm telling you, beloved, God's people had nor to give up. Listen, I tell you what's come along. There's a Pentecostal movement come along, and the Baptists have hushed up. I'm telling you, we're just shouting a long time before that movement ever got here. We ought to keep our shout for the glory of God. Now listen this morning. The second thing here, the idea of sounding an alarm. There's another idea around this word. Listen to Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. Can anybody say he's good? His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. He's practically repeating the psalm here. And all the people, the word of God, shouted with a great shout. Now listen to me. I got to read the rest of the text, but I can't hardly stand it. You say, preacher, why are the people shouting with a great shout? I'll tell you why. Because the foundation of a physical building, a temple, had been laid. Oh, glory to God. Let me ask you something this morning. If Israel could shout because a physical foundation had been laid, how much more should you and I be able to shout the praises of God because other foundation hath no man laid than that is laid? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're standing on a spiritual foundation. And beloved, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen, Brother John. Yes, the church has got her enemies, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Oh, beloved friend, we had nor to lose our shout. We ought to shout the praises of God and sound the alarm. But we ought to thank him that we're standing on a firm foundation that's never going to waver. Never going to waver. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, think about this for just a minute. The Word of God said here, they shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, I'm going to say this morning. I can shout over the spiritual foundation. But Brother Ralph, I'm glad we've got a nice building to meet in. If you're not careful, church, listen to me carefully. We'll take for granted what God's blessed us with. Both in the house of God and in our own home. There's not a one of us that desires to have a roof over our head. To be sitting in a place where we're warm and comfortable and have a place to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, beloved friend, they're shouting because the foundation has been laid. Oh, beloved, listen to what the Bible said here. Many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men. That's why I ask these men to come up here. Brother Steve and Brother Paul may not take kindly to be called ancient men. But Brother John and Brother Houston will just have to deal with it. Say amen. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said here. The ancient men who had seen the first house. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. Oh, it ought to mean the much more to those that have seen God work down through the generations. They wept with a loud voice. The Word of God said and shouted aloud for joy. In other words, Brother Houston, they had lived to see God build it up. They had lived to see the enemy tear it down. And now they were living to see the foundation laid once again. And it tickled them to death. Amen. And they shouted for joy. Ruah! Hallelujah. Oh God, give us our ruah back. Amen. I wish I felt good this morning. I'd preach. Amen. It's awesome to know God's got a book and my name's in it. That foundation's been laid and that old devil can't do nothing about it. I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. Oh, I want somebody to go with me. It's going to be wonderful. The foundation is laid. The Bible said here, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Think about that. They must have wondered, Brother Paul, what's going on down there? Oh, happy day. If God would give us our shout back, and Bloomingdale would wonder what's going on down at the house of God. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, it's a blessing. The idea that the foundation was laid, the idea of sounding an alarm. The Bible said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 16, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm glad this morning, I'm being honest, I don't stand around back here, Brother Houston, or walk down there and wonder, am I preaching the right message? Am I telling the people what they ought to hear and what they need to hear? I'm glad, thank God, I've got a book. I never do have to wonder, amen. I stand on the authority of God's precious word. And I sound an alarm this morning. Jesus is coming. And I say emphatically, without apology, there's only one foundation that'll hold up in the storm. That's Jesus. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Oh, beloved friend, the foundation has been laid. The question is, are you on it? Let me just say this. All other ground is seeking sand. I don't care what you're standing on. If it ain't this precious old book and the blood of Jesus Christ and the blessed hope of the born-again believing church, beloved, you're standing on sinking sand. You must be born again. People say, who do you think you are? It's not about who I think I am. It's who I know He is. He's the truth teller. He's the one that always got it right. That's why I'll never argue with anybody on whether you got to repent to be saved. Because Jesus said you got to repent. He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You never get tired of sin. You'll never get interested in the Savior. You get tired of your stinking sin. You get tired of laying down at night knowing that if you don't, my friend, wake up in the morning, you're in trouble. When you get tired of that, you can come to Jesus. He'll save you. Ruah, it's the idea of the foundation, the idea of sounding an alarm. The third thing I want to give you this morning is the idea of worship. In 1 Samuel chapter number 4, in verse number 5, I'm not even going to get finished with this morning. I can see that right now. I'm very, very weak. But let me give you this, and it will be done this morning. The idea of worship. You come back tonight, amen, and I'll get me a nap, another glass of orange juice, and we'll see what happens. Say amen. But I love the Lord, don't you? Amen. I love Him. I can't help it. I tell you what, if you know Him, you love Him. If you know Him, you can't help but love Him. You love Him because He first loved us. Watch this now. The idea of worship. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 5. The Word of God said, and when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, Brother John, it said all Israel, not just the elders, not just the priests. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you know, it's overlaid with gold, and you remember they were to carry it with staves. You remember when they put it on a cart, and Uzzah reached over there to steady it, he died. Didn't seem fair in a way if you look at it from man's side, but God's got His way. He wants His work done His way. He reached over and steadied it and he died. God said that thing ain't supposed to be on wheels. That thing's supposed to be carried. Now watch this. You say, preacher, where did you find this noise, this ruah? The Bible said when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout. Now listen. So that the earth rang. Is that right? Is that what it said? Let me ask you something. How many's ever heard the preacher? Maybe I've said it two or three times in the 5 or 6 years I've been here. Let's sing until the rafters ring. How many's ever heard me say something like that? Well, you know something? If Israel could shout until the earth rang, I think we ought to do something besides stand back there half asleep when we're singing. Stand back there half asleep while somebody's praying. Sit back there half asleep while somebody's preaching their guts out. I believe we ought to let the heavens ring with the joy that God has put in our heart and in our soul. I was thinking about Brother Mitchell. You know, Jesus, when he got down there towards the end, the Bible said that he cried, Brother Steve, with a loud voice, it is finished! Yeah. You say, preacher, why did he cry with a loud voice? Number one, he wanted us to know who was in control. You see, if in the average crucifixion, well, they were so weak by then, they couldn't even say anything with a loud voice. They were not taking Jesus' life. He was giving His life for us. He yielded up the ghost. I can't help but wonder if every once in a while, as weak as Brother Mitchell maybe is getting, we know that he is, if he don't just say, praise the Lord. All these years I've preached. All these years I've traveled. I'm fixing to make it home. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said here when the ark came in, look at the idea of worship. You say, preacher, what was in the ark? Well, let me just read it to you out of the Bible. Hebrews 9 and verse number 3. The Bible said, after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is the holiest, called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. That's what was in the ark of the covenant. You had a golden pot of manna, and then you had Aaron's rod that budded, and then you had the tables of the covenant, the law that God had given to Moses. That's what was included or encapsulated inside the Ark of the Covenant. He said, now, preacher, I don't understand what's so important that Israel would want to shout about that. Well, let me just help you this morning just a little bit, okay? Number one, when you're talking about the manna, you're talking about the provision that God has given. Let me ask you something. Has anybody had plenty to eat last week? Has anybody got something to eat in the cupboards, something to eat in the freezer? Hey, man, are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you what a shout, because God has provided something to eat, something to wear, somewhere to live. But more than all of that, He's provided a home in glory land that outshines the sun. The provision. They're shouting, here comes the ark. And they're shouting. They know what's in there. The Ark of the Covenant. And then there's that Aaron's rod that budded. There's a lot to study out right here. But, you know, that's the one that God used down there when those plagues in Egypt to turn the water to blood. That's the one when Israel, Brother Justin, they got to murmuring. They got to complaining. I'm going to tell you something right now. You want to lose your shout, you just go to complaining and griping and murmuring about something. And let me tell you, chances are, not only will you lose your shout, but somebody else will lose theirs too. I ain't got nothing to gripe about this morning. I ain't got nothing to complain about this morning. You say, preacher, it hurts when we lose a loved one. Yes, it does. But aren't you glad, beloved? There's a law. There's a covenant. God said, we'll meet them again. The next time we meet them, they won't be sick. There's that rod that budded. They got to complain and they got to murmur. And God said, okay, here's what we'll do. You tell them all, tell all the house of Israel, all the leaders of each tribe to bring their rods. They laid them down there together and they went away. They come back the next morning, Brother Steve. Aaron's rod had budded, had almonds on it, had flowers on it. God was letting them know, I have chosen the tribe of Levi. They're going to be my priests. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with the shout in Israel. I'm glad they got it settled. You know what you and I need to get settled? We have a high priest, a whole lot higher than the Levites, sitting at the right hand of the God the Father to make intercession for us. And beloved, we had not ought to take that for granted. We ought to shout, because in a moment we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What a blessing. And then, now listen to me this morning. I'm not here to fuss. I don't know who does and who don't. But I've been around here a while, and I know there's some that don't. It ought to be a crime to enter God's house without this book. It ought to be a crime to go into a youth meeting without this book. It ought to be a crime to go into children's church without this book. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. Beloved, they're shouting because in that ark is a golden pot of manna. God has met our needs. In that ark, and beloved, is that rod, that Aaron's rod that budded. God has given us a priesthood. And then, beloved, in that ark is the Word of God, the commandments that God has given. Now listen, I'm not fussing at you this morning, but if you ain't got your Bible, the next time you come, you ought to have it. And you ought to have the right Bible. You ought to have a King James Bible on your lap. Amen. The Bible talks about unity. Beloved, half of us can't be going one way and another half the other way. If you're teaching Sunday school, there's nothing else to teach out of. Amen. This is the old book. This is the one, beloved, that God has preserved for the English-speaking people. We need to stay with it. They're shouting in Israel, here comes the Ark of the Covenant. And they're shouting, Ruah, Ruah. I don't know about you this morning, but it changed my life when I studied what it means to make a joyful noise. Ruah, sound the alarm. I'm on the right foundation, and I want to worship. I'm going to give you something real quickly. We'll give an invitation. How many of you all have ever had the privilege to be in a Rock of Ages conference meeting of some kind? Anybody? You have, honey. You have, Brother Rose. Brother Rose, how many years ago was it you were maybe in your first meeting with the Rock of Ages? It was 10 years, okay. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I don't say that in a derogatory way, but if you could go back with me further, you know what I'm talking about, honey. Martha or Esther. Martha, amen. She's being kind to Pastor this morning. I watched it over the years. Those meetings just weren't what they used to be. Am I right or am I wrong? And I think part of it, Brother John, is we're aged. We're hurting. I'm talking about God's people that had that shout, brother. Their steps have slowed way down. Now they're burdened for children and grandchildren. And Brother Steve, physically, they just don't feel like. You understand what I mean? Can I tell you something? When Jesus comes, that hindrance will be gone. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll never enter the doors of the house of God again with my mind somewhere where it hadn't ought to be. It'll be fixed on Him. I'll never have an ache and a pain that's hindering me. But you know what I'm determined? I'm determined that in spite of the hindrances, I'm going to do my best to make a joyful noise till He comes. Ruah! And shout. Sound the warning. I'm on the right foundation. Keep bringing that blessed old book into the house of God and preaching it. Because it's not thy word like a hammer. It just keeps chipping at that old rock. Till one day God takes out that heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. That's a blessed day, beloved. That's a blessed day. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning. Thank You, God, for saving us. Thank You, Lord, for calling us. Thank You, God, for giving us this little place on planet Earth in Bloomingdale to work and to preach and to labor. God, I beg You this morning, give us our shout back. Help us, God. I know, Lord, that there's nothing good about strange fire. Strange fire does not come from the altar of God. But Lord, there is a fire that's real. There is a shout, Lord, that's real. Oh God, I pray, speak to our hearts today. Save those, our Father, that are unsaved. Help the child of God this day, Lord. Sister Becky, come, please. Brother Ralph, get us a song.